You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what you used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. I'm your host, David, and this week I chat with former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, a true wrestling legend, and WWE Hall of Famer, Dory Funk Jr. Hi, it's David from OWW Radio.
Okay, terrific.
Mr. Funk, first of all, it's a very big honor for me to have you on the program, and I want to thank you for taking the time today.
Well, thank you, and it's always a pleasure to have a chance to talk to our wrestling fans.
Well, first of all, how's your summer going?
Summer's going great, absolutely great. We've got a show coming up with Mickey James on the 11th,
mm-hmm.
And we haven't got the card completely booked, but there's going to be some combination of Mickey James, Claudia the Claw Reef, and Hollywood Heather. And I'm going to be putting on the tights myself.
Okay.
Teaming with Johnny Magnum and our terrific kid from Texas, Corey Wild Weston. And we'll be going in a six-man against Shane Chung, Jeremy the Rockstar Spillers, and Brian the Hotshot Davis. And that's the only two matches we're looking at right now. Within the next 3 or 4 days, we'll be filling out the card. But that's Saturday, August 11th.
And where can people go to find out more information about the show?
On our website, www.dory-funk.com.
Excellent.
And featured on our website right now is a beautiful story written by Mike Mooneyham just this past Sunday, only yesterday, about the our athletes here at the Funkin Conservatory and what we do and our philosophy and everything.
Well, it's wonderful to see you so involved still to this day in professional wrestling. I want to say right at the top that you and your brother Terry are pretty much the main reason I fell in love with professional wrestling, because I became a fan in the mid-80s, and I hated the two of you so much because of your feud with Junkyard Dog. I was such a big fan of his. But what I realized was I hated you guys so much I couldn't wait to watch next week. And then I realized I was hooked.
Terry and I against Junkyard Dog and Hulk Hogan is on YouTube right now.
Is that right?
All you got to do is put our names in, yes.
Well, you know, it was so important to me when I was a kid. And like I said, I was hooked then. I've been hooked ever since. And I really owe you a big thank you.
That was Saturday night main event. Yeah. Gee, I remember those days working for WWE, was WWF at the time, and have fabulous memories from my days as NWA World Champion. And incidentally, NWA looks as if it's going to crank up again.
Yeah, we just had the NWA director Bill Behrens on the program a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
I've got a video on my website of Bruce and myself, Bruce Tharp.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully NWA is going to become a player in the game in the very near future.
Well, I'd like to take a little bit of time to kind of step back to the very beginning, because people know, of course, you've come from a famous wrestling family, but for yourself, Dory, was there ever any pressure to start wrestling, or did you always know that's what you wanted to do?
I grew up in wrestling. I watched my father wrestle in Amarillo, Texas from the time I was 7 years old. Wow. And I would watch him make moves, and like everybody else, to start somewhere, I would dream and imagine that I could do all the same things that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I started amateur wrestling, at the age of 7.
Oh, my.
At a place called Texas Boys Ranch, where my father was superintendent. And amateur wrestling was a part of the program for all the kids that were the state at Texas Boys Ranch. And I wrestled all the way through high school and took the option to play football as I went into college.
Mm-hmm.
And as I finished college, I decided to take a shot at pro wrestling and never looked back. And from that time on, I've been involved in professional wrestling in one way or another, whether it's training, teaching, or actually wrestling myself. And it's been a fabulous experience to be able to do what you love for a very good part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, about 90% of my life.
As you mentioned, you did play college football at West Texas State University. Did you want to be a professional football player? Would that have been your number one choice?
You know, I took when the season was over, and in those days, if you were an amateur athlete, you could not be a pro. So I couldn't be a pro wrestler until my eligibility was over. But I finished up in the Sun Bowl at the end of the football season and decided to give pro wrestling a try.
Mm-hmm.
And really never looked back. And, well, I came through college married with two kids at the time and not making a lot of money. We got something like $75 a month for housing. You know? So I had the opportunity to turn pro and started making a living from my first week in the business and mm-hmm. just enjoyed it and took off and never looked back.
Now, I believe you started wrestling in 1963 professionally.
You are right, yes.
Yeah, and then joined the NWA, National Wrestling Alliance, in 1968. But where did you get most of your in-ring experience before you joined the NWA?
Well, the Amarillo Territory was a member of the NWA from the time I started.
Okay.
Through my father. So it was a natural thing. In the Amarillo Territory, in the promotion, I was a partner with my father and with my brother. My father was one half the business, and we were one quarter each. So the Amarillo Territory joined the NWA. That was a natural progression. But as NWA world champion from 69 on, when I won the belt from Gene Kineski in Tampa, Florida,
mm-hmm.
for the next 4 years, the NWA champion was an automatic member of the NWA and privileged to go to all the board of directors meetings and everything.
Okay.
And after being champion, as part owner of the Amarillo Territory, for the next 7 or 8 years, I was a member of the National Wrestling Alliance. Also, I represented Championship Wrestling from Florida and Jim Crockett Promotions
mm-hmm.
in later years as NWA representative. And still at the time on the board of directors.
Well, it is remarkable that you were the NWA World Heavyweight Champion for over 4 years. Is this, of all your accomplishments, what you're most proud of?
You know, there's so many things that I'm very, very proud of. One of them being watching kids that I've trained come up and make it in the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
Kids like Kurt Angle, Edge, Christian, the Hardy Brothers. It just gives me a lot of pride to watch Mickey James, Lita, but just seeing these kids make it to the top is really gives me a lot of pride. Another one was being selected to the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I was especially proud of that because the majority of my career was not with WWE, but with the National Wrestling Alliance. And I would be nominated and installed into their Hall of Fame was a real honor. And very much my thanks to Vince McMahon and McMahon family and World Wrestling Entertainment and all the people involved that had anything to do with me being in the WWE Hall of Fame. And the other huge point of pride is the 4.5 years as NWA World Champion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fabulous time of my life, and I had the opportunity to travel to so many different territories and work for so many different companies and wrestle and meet all the very top wrestlers in the business. And that was a real trip. But my first match in professional wrestling, I was doing my student teaching, and my high school wrestling team and my college football team was in attendance along with my mother. So that first match was really something to get through with a lot of pressure, too.
Can you explain what the role of the world champion was during the territory days, during the time you were NWA world champion, a little bit different maybe than what it is today?
It was what could the world champion do for each company that he was working for?
Mm-hmm.
What could he give them? And there were 30 different companies. They were all different, from Stu Hart's territory to Fritz's and Dallas to Florida. Tennessee, California, the two territories in California, Vancouver, all over the North America. There were different promoters. There were 30 different ones, and it was all about what could the NWA World Champion do for them in a way of being a box office attraction and in a way of what could I do to help the business of each company I worked for. Through that opportunity, I was able to work with some of the very, very great wrestlers in the wrestling business, including John Valentine, Wahoo McDaniel, Billy Robinson. Well, actually, with the top wrestler in each company throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Chavo Guerrero out in California, Johnny Weaver in North Carolina. It just went on and on. Kaniski up in Vancouver, the Sheik in Detroit. Mm-hmm. It was just... The people I wrestled was just almost like a who's who in professional wrestling at the time. And I had the opportunity to learn from each and every one of those top wrestlers that I was facing. Mm-hmm. I also had the opportunity to learn from each and every one of those promotions that I was working for.
Hmm. Well, what a list of stars. Yeah, that's a trip down memory lane for wrestling historians, huh?
Gee, I've got a list on my website of all my NWA title matches. I've got a list of 7,000 of the dates and matches and the opponents that I wrestled, and just to look back through the names.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you look at a date, a city, and a name, there's a story you can tell. And I've got a list of all of my matches in St. Louis, so what a great wrestling town that was for promoter Sam Mushnick and opponents and everything. And it just brings back so many memories, and one of these days I'm just going to take a little time and sit down and write a book about it. I did have an opportunity to have a real wide variety of experience in wrestling.
Now, you did lose your belt to another legend, Harley Race, and we've all heard he's one of the toughest guys you could ever meet. What was it like going toe-to-toe in the ring with Harley Race?
To start with, his attitude is tough,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a guy tough. Right there. Harley Race's attitude is as tough as anybody I know. And Harley came up a different way. He came up like a lot of wrestlers that come to the Funkin' Conservatory. He had to fight his way in the business. He began wrestling on the carnival, taking on all comers. That's where he got his experience. It wasn't through college or university, but it was a tough way to go. So Harley basically fought his way into the wrestling business with guts and intestinal fortitude, more so than being a very skilled amateur wrestler.
Huh.
And it did the job for him, and he never changed. He always had that very tough attitude, believed in himself, believed in what he could do, and was highly successful. He also had an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
He had a steel plate in his left forearm. That was an unfair advantage that Harley Race had. Anytime he connected with his left forearm, it was jarring, I promise you.
It's a secret weapon.
He was cheating.
Now, your brother Terry, of course, was also an NWA World Champion. You were the only two brothers to ever hold that crown. Were you always supportive of each other, or was there a healthy sibling rivalry?
Well, there was sibling rivalry back when I was about 10 years old and he was 7, you know, and I could really take him on then and make him say uncle. But then when it got to where, you know, I was 17 and he was 14, it got a little closer.
Yeah.
When I was 20 and he was 17, it was closer. So the older you get, the closer you get, you know, percentage-wise. So he finally got to be pretty tough. I had the chance to wrestle him one time in Japan during my pro wrestling career.
Huh.
A lot of people have asked me, you know, what was it like wrestling your brother? Well, it was kind of like wrestling myself because we both had the same teacher and we both do the same things. Even though he has a different style than I do, he is a very good wrestler. And even though I do a lot of wrestling, I can also fight.
Mm-hmm.
So when I face Terry Funk, it's like wrestling myself.
But like you said, you two really did have different styles, and it seems like that's what made you two such a good tag team.
We'd back each other up, and I would do the wrestling, and he would do the fighting. But I could always fight, and he could always wrestle, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy life on the road, or eventually did the travel conditions become a real grind?
No, the travel conditions and every minute I spent in the ring was an absolute ball. I absolutely loved it. And we tell our kids in training the same thing, that the fun time that you're going to have is in the ring wrestling. The hard part is everything you go through in the wrestling business to get to the spot where you're performing in front of the people. Huh. But when you're in front of the fans wrestling, that's what you did all the work for. Mm-hmm. And that's the real pleasure of the wrestling business.
Now, Terry did join Vince McMahon in New York, I believe, in 1985. You followed not too long after that. How did you enjoy your time working in New York?
Absolutely loved it. Even at that time, it was WWF. Vince McMahon ran a first-class territory. Accommodations were terrific everywhere you went. We traveled first class and stayed in first-class hotels. WWE and before WWF was a first-class promotion all the way. At the time I was there, man, they were just breaking loose with Saturday Night Main Event.
Mm-hmm. WrestleMania?
Hulk Hogan and the biggest house in the history of the world up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The WrestleMania 2. WrestleMania was just getting started, but was a huge success at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling for Vince McMahon was like wrestling as NWA World Champion for the NWA. It was a first-class operation.
Like I said, that was really when I started becoming a fan, and I vividly remember, of course, your match with Terry at WrestleMania 2. You were victorious against JYD and Tito Santana. A lot of people have even said that was the best match on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't want to get everybody mad at me, so since you said it, thank you.
But I did want to ask you, why were you rebranded as Hoss Funk when you made the move to WWF?
Well, you know, people ask me that all the time, and to tell the truth, my football coach in high school, Joe Brooks, who was a great West Texas football player, too, used to call me Hoss.
Mm-hmm.
So in working for Vince McMahon, they have criteria that they want to meet, and they came up with the name Hoss, and it was a natural thing with me. And a lot of people ask me about that. They question it. Should it have been done? It was still Dory Funk Jr. out there, and everybody knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And being called Hoss was just an extension of my high school days.
Was there a different style of ring work, though, that you had to kind of adapt to for Vince and for the World Wrestling Federation?
Maybe a little more pressurized under the TV lights.
Mm-hmm.
Television was the most important thing to Vince McMahon, which it has become even now, and even in our training here at the Funky Conservatory, 50% of our training is for television, for mm-hmm. television appearances, both in the case of wrestling for television and in the case of interviews on television, vignettes on television. Half of our training here on well, we call ourselves Funky Conservatory, and we also call ourselves Bang TV because we do so much television here in our training. But there are promoters in the old days, and I'm sure Vince is of this opinion now, that 50% of your drawing capacity is your ability to present yourself on television.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've always been a big Jimmy Hart fan. It must have been a real honor and a lot of fun to work with one of the best managers of all time.
It was very much. And I was just looking back at some of the good times we have. You know, YouTube is fabulous because you go back, you have a record of everything that you did. But, yeah, Jimmy was great. I just looked back at some of the matches with Terry and I with Jimmy in our corner.
Now, Terry left the WWF shortly after WrestleMania 2, but you did not. You stayed there, mostly tagging with the other Funk brother, Jimmy Jack Funk, maybe most famous for his right. fight with Haku outside the ring. Why did Terry leave, and why did you stay? Yeah.
Really, that was after I was gone.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't have anything to do with that.
Fair enough.
Nor do I have a comment on it. Okay.
So why did you stay even though Terry decided to move on?
Well, Terry's horse was sick. At least that was his comment to Vince when he left.
Huh.
His horse was either sick or his horse died. I'm not sure. And his wife was terribly upset. And Terry is a country West Texas boy, so that makes a big difference.
Was it strange for you to be working, though, for WWF, you know, without him and working with Jimmy Jack Funk and maybe some lower-profile storylines?
I can't say it was strange because I've been in so many different situations in the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting ready to put a match up on Twitter of myself from ECW and a Texas barbed wire bloodbath. you might say that was strange. It was, because I was invited to ECW and went up there, and I didn't even know it was a Texas barbed wire match. But stranger things have happened to me, I guess, is what I'll say.
I guess that's part of the business, right? Pro wrestling's a little strange.
It's just part of the business.
When you yourself left the World Wrestling Federation, where did you spend some more time? You mentioned ECW. Where else did you wrestle?
Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a good bit of my time working in Japan and picking up, I don't want to use the word wrong, working for established promoters over here in America and also working in Japan. I want to keep away from using the word indie promotions because they were established promotions. Jim Crockett Jr. in the Carolinas, Eddie Graham in Florida. And those were two places. Actually, I was doing the booking for both of those territories after finishing up for Vince.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love the fact that you made an appearance as a participant in the 1996 Royal Rumble. How did that come about?
I was asked to participate in the Royal Rumble, and I'm going to thank Pat Patterson that asked me to come up there.
Mm-hmm.
Or he may not have, I can't say for sure. Maybe Jim Ross, but I'm not sure who it was. But I did participate in the Royal Rumble. And I had a great time up there.
Yeah, it must have been fun. You, of course, run the Funking Conservatory down in Florida. Can you tell us what is the quote-unquote Dory Funk method of professional wrestling that you teach there?
Yeah, it consists of three things. Number one is safety in wrestling. Number two, performance on television.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, in-ring performance.
What do you like most about being a trainer versus a performer?
I was watching the success of my students.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the progress of my students. I guess we've got kids here right now that have come along so well, and I'm proud of all of them.
Well, right, you mentioned earlier, you really trained some of today's biggest stars, Edge, the Hardy Boys, Mickie James, Lita, Christian, among others, Kurt Angle. Quite a resume.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all those people have done to make me look good as their coach. I mean, it's just an honor to have had the privilege of training several Olympic athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Henry being one of them. Yeah. Anton Giesink, another. Giant Silva is a Olympic basketball player. Jumbo Tsuruta was Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Kurt Angle, who's a phenomenon as a wrestler.
Absolutely. Well, you yourself, of course, always a great technical wrestler, so it's really no surprise that you're a fine trainer. By the way, Mr. Funk, is it true that you did invent the Texas Cloverleaf submission?
No, I did not invent the Texas Cloverleaf submission, and everybody asked me that. I have nothing to do with inventing the Texas Cloverleaf. I think my brother might have, but I'm not sure about that either. I do know how to put the Texas Cloverleaf on, and on rare, rare occasions I have done it. Okay. But I did not invent it.
Well, you mentioned one of your three pillars of the Dory Funk method of professional wrestling is this performance on TV. And as a trainer, how do you bridge the gap between the two different eras, two different styles of professional wrestling? Perhaps what you wrestled in back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and what we expect to see on television today?
Okay, we have to train from both styles. Because as a pro wrestler, you know, as I said, you got to make the company feel good about what it's doing. You got to make money for the company. You got to please Vince McMahon and his television production of professional wrestling. You've got to be able to meet those demands as a professional wrestler appearing on television.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you're going to remember last year's WrestleMania. And those wrestlers were cut loose with lots of time to perform, and some of the greatest matches that I've ever seen took place at the last WrestleMania. They were working a different style of wrestling than the rapid in and out that you have to do for television.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think of the greatest matches that I've ever seen, there are many from the past, but the last WrestleMania had fabulous performance by their wrestlers, and they didn't have to hurry their matches. They could take time, and it was probably one of the best shows I've ever seen, any time period.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent WrestleMania as well.
And you saw great wrestling there, too.
Mm-hmm. Great storytelling.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They didn't have to pack it into 3 minutes for a television package.
Right.
You have to be able to perform whatever venue you're in. And well, there's three people you got to please. You got to please the promoter, the audience, and the person you're wrestling.
Your opponent, sure.
Yes.
Now, your students and friends participate in a local wrestling program called Bang TV.
Right.
Yeah, it would seem to be a great experience for wrestlers looking to work on their promo skills and, as you mentioned, you know, working on that performance aspect of wrestling. How did this come about? Where can people see Bang TV? And do you do a weekly show?
Okay, we do a weekly show. The weekly show is on Bang TV. It's 3 weeks out of the month. We do what we call Premium Bang.
Huh.
And those are interviews, vignettes, and wrestling matches. But they're done for camera only with a very few, very small audience. Then once a month and sometimes twice a month, we do our full production Bang Television.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with a full audience, and our facility automatically sells out every time. And that's at the Funk and Conservatory Soundstage here in Ocala, Florida. Our next live show in front of the live audience, oh, I mentioned already, comes up with Mickie James coming here on August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
That's predominantly a once-a-month show, and our Premium Bang is every Saturday. So they do get their time in front of the television camera, and they do have the opportunity to be seen worldwide through Premium Bang and Bang TV.
Mm-hmm.
By their parents,
mm-hmm.
their relatives, their friends. And it's so fabulous now, no matter where in the world they are, they can pick up Bang TV. It's amazing.
Yeah, the Internet is great for that.
Oh, it's fabulous.
It's fun. I was going to ask you, I thought I had read that you hung up your boots for good in 2008, but this is not true. You're going to be wrestling here on the show in August.
I'll be wrestling in August, yes. I'll be in the ring with one of my fabulous students, Corey Wild Weston, and a terrific person. Our team leader, Johnny Magnum, and we'll be going against Shane Chung and New Generation, Rockstar Spillers, and Hotshot Davis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should be a great show, and look for that on dory-funk.com. And that's the website you want people to go to see the Bang TV. Are you also on YouTube?
We have a website. We have a large presence on YouTube. We have a large presence on Facebook and Twitter.
Now, you and Terry, as you mentioned earlier, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2009. I was actually fortunate enough to be there in Houston, Texas that night. It was special for me. Yeah, it was special for me to see the two of you. I loved you as a tag team. And tell us, it must have been such an honor to be inducted with your brother.
It was, very much so. And I had the opportunity to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was waiting for his turn. He whispered to me, "You're running out of time." And I thought he said, "You're doing fine." So I kept talking. And so he got to have his say, too. He always does.
Why was Dusty Rhodes chosen to induct you?
I was very proud to be inducted by Dusty. He's had a huge influence on the wrestling business. And his style is different. Mm-hmm. Mine is not much different than Terry's. Terry and Dusty have had some fabulous battles. I actually, in Tampa, Florida, faced Dusty Rhodes in several matches for the NWA World title. And I couldn't have been happier than having Dusty Rhodes induct Terry and I into the WWE Hall of Fame. He also works for and represents WWE.
Now, you were a 1998 honoree of the prestigious Cauliflower Alley Club, a very prestigious organization, and I wanted to ask you, Mr. Funk, do you ever go to the reunions at all?
I have been in the past, and if my schedule is free, I'm able to do that. At times, it's pretty tough with the training schedule here. But, yes, I have been to Cauliflower Alley, and they do have a great organization.
Yeah, and like I said, a real prestigious organization and a real accolade for your career to be honored by the CAC, one of many. I wanted to thank you so much for joining me today on OWW Radio. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you. And remind us again where we can find you. What's your Twitter handle?
This is a Japanese spelling of my last name, so it's a little difficult. It's at FUANKU.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Repeat it back to me.
Yeah. At FUANKU.
You got it. That's a Japanese spelling and pronunciation of my last name.
It's really the only Japanese I speak. That's about it.
Okay. Well, you got one word there.
One word.
You learned a new word.
And I'll make sure that when we post the interview, we have all your contact information there. We want people to check out Premium Bang and Bang TV. We've got a big show coming up August 11th. It'd be great to see Mickey James. Again, thank you so much for taking the time today. Everyone at OWW wishes you a lot of continued success.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. What an honor to have Mr. Dory Funk Jr. on the radio program today. Thank you again to him for joining us and sharing some wonderful stories from his great career. Until next time, I am David, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Alex and I will be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's okay.